Mike, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we approve the minutes of the March 3rd meeting?
I'll move that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Dr. Chapman, good morning.
Morning.
Is this on? Yeah, there we go. I've got a couple items for the group. First one has to do with budget adjustment. It's important to note that this is for last year. It's 2020 budget. Due to COVID, Governor put a 20% withhold on all state aid funding this past year. Recently, that funding was restored. So I'm looking to get your permission to accept $28,241 from State Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse and $15,898 from Office of Mental Health. I'm also looking to get your approval to approve the budget adjustment as written so we can pass this money on to our service contract providers.
Any questions? I just have a question. Is this a full 20% or is it just the 15? And
it's my understanding is it's the 20% for last year, and it's still yet to be determined what's going to happen with that 5% withhold for this year.
Okay, thank you.
As you all might already be aware, there's a lot of advocacy going on to have it be 100% restored and not have anything going forward, but only time will tell what rulings made on that.
Thank you.
So we knew we were going to have a 20% holdback. Our service providers, what, reduced the amount of services they did to that 20% level?
Correct. In reality, unfortunately, it meant some layoffs.
Okay. So we're restoring most of that back, and they will ramp back up?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan.
Thank you. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Second item I have has to do with collections. We put an RFP out this past fall, and we had one agency submit a proposal. They go by the name Join of me. Collection Bureau of Fort Walton Beach, Incorporated. They're located out of Florida. They propose a rate of 14.98% of the total amounts collected. No startup or monthly maintenance fees. Overall, it looks like a pretty good proposal. So I'm looking to get your permission to accept the proposal and move ahead to enter into a contract with them.
Second.
Any other questions?
What is the amount of outstanding?
It ranges currently. It's upwards of $150,000, and it's that high right now because we've been without a collections agency for a better part of a year.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we put it up for bid and no one bid on it?
Not that I recall, no. We just we put it out this fall, and it's taken us this long just to process the proposal and stuff with okay. interruptions with COVID and things, so to speak.
Jan?
Yeah, so how much do these agencies actually collect? How much are we writing on?
That's a good question, John. It varies. I can give you by history. It was affiliated group was our collections agency in the past. And I'm going to say over the course of a dozen years, at least 10 years, the outstanding balance was as high as close to $650,000. Out of that, they recouped about $100,000. Our business office does a very good job, you know, working with folks when they're, you know, currently enrolled in services. And once they leave services, if there's an outstanding balance, business office sends a letter out, makes every attempt to contact the people. If we don't hear from them in 30 days, you know, another letter and call goes out. And then after doing that, if they still don't respond, then we would send them on to collections. But we, in taking that process, we prevent a lot of folks from having to go to collections because they do, we usually do hear from them and can make arrangements.
Kelly, did you have a question?
Yes. What is the payment to this firm for the collection services? If they collect, they get paid, or do we pay them?
Correct. They keep 14.98% of whatever they bring in. And there's no
real county cost because we're not collecting it.
Correct. There's no fee or, you know, monthly fee or anything paid to them.
Thank you.
14.98. I guess 15 was the threshold they wanted to be under.
It's actually a little better rate than what we had historically. The rate in the past was, I think, 17.5%. So at least this is a little less.
Do you know how many cases they actually take to court to try to collect this? Is there an additional fee when they do that?
With this particular company, there is not an additional charge to do that. And I'm not sure what percentage or what amount they would take to court. As you know, it would all go back to whether or not they've had any success.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Doug.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. So today, you should have read my explanation. We received word that the law offices of Bill Joint and Von Hagen are terminating our legal contract. And so I am seeking approval to put out a request for professional services. We typically have only had one legal provider over the years, and in the past few years, we found it really helpful to have two providers to choose from when we have a referral. So I just need approval for a bid to have a second provider.
I'll move that. Second.
Any questions?
What do you refer to? What kind of cases are?
It's really simple cases like power of attorney, wills. They don't do any criminal cases. Anything that would be long and drawn out, they don't do. It's generally one or two consultations for a case.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Patty. We have Kathy and Lisa. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll hold on social services and go to public health. Good morning, Darlene. She's on, isn't she?
Sorry, I just had to unmute myself. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. A few things this morning. The first one is to ask for your approval for me to put out the annual preschool transportation bid.
Hello. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. The second one is there's just a couple of contracts I need your approval for. One of them is for the Save Rural Health Network, the FLIPA contract, which stands for the Finger Lakes Public Health Association. We've been a part of this mutual aid agreement between all of the Say Rural Health Network counties for years. And typically it's $2,000 a year, and that's what we budgeted for. But this year it's going to be $2,800 rather than $2,000. So just asking if we can have approval for that increase.
We have a motion.
I'll move it. Second.
Yeah. For them to know that the Say Rural Health Network gets a lot of grants for us, and I think we get our money back in return through grants.
Yes, Carol, I would agree. You know, it's a unique network. You know, across the state, other areas are not quite so don't benefit as much, I think, from an association or a network like that as we do. And, you know, of course, you know, for the past year, none of the member counties have been able to take advantage of this FLIPA mutual aid, because no county can loan another county in any personnel at this point in time for COVID response, because we all have our hands full. But under normal circumstances, when one county has, let's say, you know, a Hep A, they need to run a Hep A clinic because of a positive food service worker, then that's when it really is beneficial and comes in handy, because then all the other counties don't have that same problem going on at the same time, so they can lend support.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. The second contract I'm asking for is approval for the Wayland Cohocton School to do center-based preschool program and related services. Right now, they are in the process of getting approvals from the state in order to do these services. Previously, we had gotten that done through Pathways, but they are discontinuing that particular program at the end of June. So if Wayland Cohocton can cover that, that would be really helpful to pick up some of the kids that need those services in that part of the county.
I make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. And then there are three resolutions. Do we need to take them separately? I don't know if you've had a chance to look them over.
We need to take them separately. Could you just do a brief description of each one, Darlene?
Yes, I can. There's three different ones. These are nice NYSAC resolutions that were put forth in association with NYSACHO, which is my association for the county health officials. Three resolutions that we're proposing. One of them is asking for support for allocating unrestricted resources to all of the local health departments in order to, you know, fortify our provision of our core services. This is in anticipation of some expanded public health mandates that we expect to come down. The second resolution is to memorialize the governor and the New York State legislature asking to restore state funding again to all of the local health departments for rabies post-exposure prophylaxis. Previously, we've received approximately $20,000 from the state every year for this particular funding. And as of right now, that funding is not included in the budget. And so we certainly would like to have that restored, because it can easily exceed the $20,000 that they even give us if there's, for example, an entire family that should need it and, not have insurance. So it can be a very costly endeavor. And then the third one is to memorializing the governor and the state state legislature to expand vaccination access in New York, specifically to allow pharmacists to be able to vaccinate all of the school needed vaccines that doctors and that we do, but if pharmacists could also be added to the list of individuals who can vaccinate, it would certainly give families across the state greater access to those necessary vaccines.
Thank you, Darlene.
Welcome.
We have a motion.
I'm moved.
Okay. Second.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a couple. As far as the third one with pharmacists, Wegmans Pharmacy was giving vaccines last week. So isn't it the pharmacist that's doing it?
So this would be for really any childhood type of vaccine, you know, not just COVID or any childhood related disease that children need vaccinations for in order to attend school. That's what this is for.
Okay, and as far as the second one with the state funding, isn't the horse already out of the barn on that one because they did the budget last night?
Then probably. I didn't realize they did it last night.
Yeah, they arrived at a $212 billion budget. It was in the news this morning.
Okay. Can we take one together? Okay. All right. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Darlene.
Darlene, regarding vaccines, could you just give us a, I listened to Jack on the ride in this morning on the radio, but could you give the committee an update on like percentages of county residents that have been vaccinated?
Yes. When I checked just a day or two ago, those who have received at least the first dose of vaccine, I believe we're right around 25%. And those who are fully vaccinated, and the definition of fully vaccinated is both the first and second dose, as well as being 14 days beyond the second dose, that's considered fully vaccinated. We are right just about at, I believe, at 15% of the county is fully vaccinated.
Yeah, and that ticked up, and again, it's nothing, you know, we check it occasionally, but I did check it late last night, and it was 27 and 17, so ticked up just a little bit.
Well, that's good. Right direction.
That's interesting.
That include the VA, the Veterans Administration, providing vaccine. Are they included in the count?
Sorry,
yes, I can answer that. So the VA would be included. It would be any, it ties back to your county. So any Steuben County, it wouldn't be anyone vaccinated at the Bath VA. It would be any Steuben County veteran or family member now vaccinated at the Bath VA.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, or any other VA, if they went to Canandaigua, but were a Steuben County resident, it would tie back to us.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That covers, that doesn't mean how many public health has vaccinated or, you know, the state site at CCC or the VA. That's anybody that resides in the county that went anywhere, any place. And some of them did, in fact, go out of county early on. Anyone who in the county who has been vaccinated, no matter where they got their vaccination.
Thank you.
It was interesting. We were at Corning Hospital last night visiting my mother, and a pharmacist employee came into the room and said, this is just an open question. Have any of you folks been vaccinated or do you need it? We have a clinic going on downstairs and we have more shots than we have arms to stick them into. So they're actually canvassing visitors in the hospital trying to find people to get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's a common theme, and we certainly have up against that ourselves, as has, I think, probably every provider across the state. Supply certainly exceeds demand at the moment. That was not the case early on, but we are, our clinics of late, all of the appointments have not filled up.
Mm. John, you have a question?
Can I just ask where these numbers are being generated from? Is this from the state?
Yes. Anyone who receives the vaccine, it automatically gets uploaded into the, it's called NYSIS, the New York State Immunization System. And all vaccines that folks receive upload into that. And that's, you know, a good gauge of how many have been vaccinated.
Mike.
Hey, Darlene, this is Mike. I know this is a far-reaching question. Any idea what the percent of people that are saying we're not getting vaccinated, we don't believe in it, we don't want it? Are we going to end up with 25% of our population is going to say no?
Yeah, unfortunately, we fear a large percentage of our population in Steuben County are saying no. We, you know, when our clinic appointments began to not fill, we put out a little survey on social media just to try to get, I mean, we felt like we knew what the answers were, but we wanted to hear from residents what the answers were as to if they hadn't gotten vaccinated and if they weren't planning to, what the reasons were. The two, over 700 people responded, which we thought was really pretty good. And the two reasons that rose to the top were the ones that we feared, and that is just basic vaccine hesitancy, because folks feel it's too new and they don't trust it and don't want to, you know, be the quote unquote, you know, guinea pig for science. And then the second reason that rose to the top is a lot of people are waiting for Johnson & Johnson vaccine because it's one dose rather than two. And they've heard that, you know, some of the side effects from after the second dose of Pfizer and Moderna, you know, some people can have a fairly robust reaction to that, but they can to Johnson & Johnson as well. And I'm not sure those stories have gotten around well enough for people to know that, but a lot of people definitely like the one dose idea rather than two doses. I don't currently have Johnson & Johnson. I have pre-booked a fairly large order for it, and hopefully I'll receive notification this coming weekend that we will receive that next week. But to date, I've received 100 doses of Johnson & Johnson.
I wonder if the report from Reuters today that came up is going to cause even more slow in the demand, because it says that there may be a clear link between AstraZeneca vaccine and rare blood clots in the brain. So whether the reports are true or not, I think that's the concern that people are having.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, there's just so much narrative right now around each and every brand of vaccine, and you know, people are gonna latch on to you know, a narrative. It may be true and it may not be true, but it's hard to change minds when minds are made up.
Any other John?
Darlene, this is Bob Nichols. My wife and I went to Sarah, Pennsylvania, even though we got it, our vaccine out of state, the county still gets credit that we got vaccinated, right?
Yes. You will, that information will come back into the state system. So yes, you will be counted.
Okay. But since you traveled across the New York border, did you quarantine for 2 weeks?
No, I forgot to do that.
John, you have a question?
Yes. When I came in the building this morning, I asked the guard, with everybody's temperature being taken, how many people have been turned away or have been tested and proven positive to this COVID? So do we have a number for both buildings or all our buildings?
I'm sorry, you were cutting out and I didn't catch that whole question.
The number, John, the number that have flagged for fever?
That's it, yeah.
Very low. Very low. We've had reports of a handful of employees. I don't recall hearing any visitors.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. We're ready for Lise. Good morning, Lise.
You're on mute, Lise.
Okay, I had it on the, I was trying to do it by the phone, so I apologize. I'm going to put us on just the computer then.
What the hell is it? I don't know. Is it going to be that one?
That was good.
Can't hear you, Lise.
Nothing yet. Uh-oh.
She's muted, is she?
Was the culprit.
Can you unmute?
It stopped when she's trying to play, man.
I think I get for a minute.
I'm still doing it. Crazy. Yeah, I don't know. You did something with it.
Carol, would you like to do the personnel item while Lisa's doing the technology?
Good morning, Nate.
If somebody has a cell phone next to my call signal, let me shut off ones where no one is sitting.
Okay. I'll certainly let Darlene talk a little bit more about this. I'm asking for authorization to reclassify a public health coordinator position to a deputy public health director position. It's become quite evident, especially during the pandemic, that you know, obviously we try to have deputy department heads in each department. You know, it just makes sense to have someone who can act for in place of the department head when they're away or incapacitated or anything else. Again, I'm asking for authorization for reclassification. Darlene, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, as Nate mentioned, public health has not had a deputy ever, I believe, but certainly not in the almost 6 years that I've been the director. And the public health coordinator position is a better definition of that, just for your awareness, is really the nurse supervisor. And the individual who previously held that position, Gail, retired over a year ago. She retired a year ago, January, and she was in that position for quite some time, did a fantastic job, but she's been gone for over a year, and despite advertising, not one single individual has applied for that position for me to even interview. And so, to be quite honest, I kind of need three things right now. I need a nurse, because I've been without a nurse for over a year. I need a nurse supervisor, and without that position for over a year. And I need a deputy. So because no one expressed any interest in that nurse supervisor position, I thought it may be more attractive if I could kind of combine the two roles of a deputy as well as that public health coordinator, nurse supervisor. Already that has, potentially generated some interest. So it would, you know, really in the long run be a savings, because it would really kind of be rolling, you know, a couple of positions into one. And it would be of great benefit to me and to the department if this were able to be approved.
Any questions?
I'll move it. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lise, would you like a minute to get your breath?
I could hear me on my computer, so it was really weird. So I kept talking
You got a blue towel over your head.
I have some my sweater, yeah. So I went back and forth between the phone and the computer, so I apologize. I don't know what it was. And I could hear me on the computer, so that was weird. I am just here to request permission for our annual foster parent banquet. We, this year, would like to present the foster parents with a $50 coupon that they'll be able to present to a restaurant for dinner. We have a list of vendors who will accept our coupon vouchers in Bath, Corning, and Hornell. Once the foster parent uses the coupon, the vendor will send it to us for reimbursement. We'll have an expiration date on it, contain identity information, signature of the foster parent using the coupon, along with the restaurant and receipt, and all of that will go together. So that's what we have. Good luck to planning, brother. I just had to grab these on the way through on the front desk. any questions? And we generally, look, we, in 2019, we'd spent $3,500. We're requesting to spend up to $3,000 this year. We have it budgeted in our budget as well.
I'll move that. I'll second it.
It doesn't seem like $50 is a lot of money for people to go out to dinner.
Mickey D's or Arby's?
What's that?
Mickey D's or Arby's? Yeah.
I tell you, the work that those foster families do is unbelievable.
Yeah.
We have a couple that live right across the street from my parents. They have a special needs kid that was fostered
and then they adopted 3 years ago, and they now have two foster kids there whose parents were druggies. They lived under a bridge. They beat the kids, and yet they're now in a home where they're loved, but twice a week they have to be taken back so that the parents can visit them, and 90% of the time the parents don't even show up. I mean, it's the stuff that they put up with and deal with in order to help kids is, it's just amazing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And they don't get paid much for it.
Well, we have 50 families right now, including the five that are currently going through MAPS. So.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lise.
Sorry for the technical difficulties.
Lisa, I got a question for you. With the mess and the disaster on our southern border, are they dumping any of them up here in Steuben County that we got to pay for?
So how many have we had from out of county?
Yeah, that we're having to furnish homes for and pay out taxpayers' dollars in Steuben County. I'm just wondering.
Out of county, we had 14 out of county last month, and that included 7 out of state for temporary assistance. That's who we saw in the last month.
How long do we have to take care of them, or out of staters?
If they move here,
we're stuck with them.
They decide to move somewhere else. Which,
so to clean the border out down south, they could just dump them all over counties across New York State, and then that county's got to foot the bill.
Join the meeting.
Homeless were found.
So it's nice, reassuring to know.
But we are, is off right now.
In the 2021 state budget, I believe they added $4 billion for aid to undocumented or immigrants living in New York. So whether that is going to be a carrot on the stick for the federal government to send more into New York, who knows?
Yeah.
Any other questions, Kelly?
As long as we're talking about it, please, are there different standards as far as who gets help and how they get help from county to county, or are all the rules similar across the state?
The rules should be similarly applied across the state because they are state mandates.
Okay.
So are there directives out there as far as like DFR and things like that for county to county, and there's
like question and answers. I was just looking at one of those yesterday. District of Fiscal Responsibility. And so I was just looking at one of those yesterday for the questions. So they're like, okay, if they move now and they do this, who pays for them? And if they're over here, who pays for them? And if we place them? And so, you know, they kind of, they have a little diagrams for us as well, but should be the same.
Any other questions for Lise?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that if any of these people that are coming over the border are relocated, they have to have a family in that particular area where they're sent to. Is that true? But that was my understanding.
I haven't seen any additional direction on these particular families. Maybe they will put something out for that. Right now, we would treat them as we do anyone.
But is the federal government notifying us if they're sending somebody into our area?
I have not seen any additional documentation. I don't believe we've had any notification at this point.
Just pull the bus in and dump them off. That's your notification.
I don't know about New York State, but I think in other states they're asking the foster care program to pick up a lot of these kids, so they may not all have family here. Any other questions? Thanks, Lise.
Thank you. Sorry again.
Jack or Chris, do you have anything?
Nothing on our end.
Okay. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. In keeping with the two goals that we determined for 2021-22, Mary Parham has generously taken time to go ahead and start working on these goals. And for the first one, she focused on mental health. And I wanted to thank Dr. Chapman and Mary for doing that. So I thought it was a great start to finalizing our goals. The other thing I wanted to talk about was on March 30th, I volunteered at the Beth Haverling High School for the COVID vaccination. And one of my jobs was, I'll call it the exit greeter, which is a oxymoron. But as the people were leaving, I could not count the number of people that appreciated the professionalism and the just the positive way that the whole vaccine clinic was handled. And I just wanted to make sure that Jack and the whole team are recognized for that, because the people were so appreciative of the way they got through and with no issues at all. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And we say it all the time, but Darlene and Matthew and Kenny and especially the volunteers, I mean, they're just a tremendous job. We have dozens of volunteers that are there every week. So thank you, Carol, for volunteering. I know Hilda's been at those too. And yeah, it's a team effort, but it's been fantastic.
And this is Hilda. I can't say enough about how organized and how appreciative people were, but it was so well done. I was like, oh my God, they almost didn't need me because everything was so, so organized. So I really think you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you all. Thank you both. I appreciate that. As you can see, it just requires so many individuals to make it successful. And to Jack's point, the volunteers have just have been awesome in responding whenever we say we have another clinic. And I know they're getting tired because we've had a lot of clinics.
We went to the clinic at Beth Haverling. We took both of my parents up there for both of their shots. And I agree, it was very well run, very organized. I was impressed by how many county retirees were actually there working some of the tables. So I would agree that it was a very good thing.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
Jack, have we solved the issue with the Village of Bath and hotels usage?
I'd ask Ms. Fitzpatrick to that, because she was leading kind of the interface with the village.
Okay.
I had a very brief meeting with Mike Sweet about it last week, just to get his feel for where he's at. He is very anti-social services. And so right now I'm just accumulating some information for him. I've gotten the names of the local business owners where some of the homeless population have been staying, and I want to reach out to them because I have two concerns. Number one, yes, we do have a lot of problems with certain individuals, and I don't believe you can point out that it's only homeless individuals that are causing the problem, and I would really like to bring that out to his attention, but we'll see how that goes. But the other thing is that the business owners that are accepting the homeless people, I don't think that they would be able to survive the winters and some of the other seasons that are here.
I agree.
Given the condition of the Village of Bath. So I don't think it's a really simple issue that's going to go away. And I need more information. I need to contact Tina and find out about how many times the police department is actually at those facilities. Jack provided me with some information regarding how many times they're there doing welfare checks for individuals that the county is paying to be there. And those numbers were relatively small. I think the current environment with the police department and the new administration here in the village is abrasive. And I know that they long for the days of when the village had a little bit more robust economy and a different population or a different demographic, but I believe that the approach they're taking on it is wrong. And so trying to bridge that gap is why I'm trying to accumulate that information. And then Mike wants a meeting amongst all of us. Mm-hmm. But since he's on vacation, it's just bought me a week to try to get my resources together and then put together a meeting with him.
Okay, because I know there a meeting was suggested. I just hadn't heard any more on it. I did think that the report that Kathy and Lise supplied us on multiple years worth of history was pretty telling, that there is not really a concentration in the Village of Bath. If you look across the entire county, all the other areas that have boarding are just as basically even as with Bath. So,
well, the one year we had like 56%. But it seems like that had kind of leveled off a little bit more and people are being spread out. I think the other issue with it is that when you present yourself as homeless, there are certain things that you have to do every single day. And because you need to do those and you need to get to the county building in order to accomplish that, it makes more sense for people to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see some other approaches. I mean, realistically, the whole reason for putting someone up is so that they're not living under a bridge or breaking into houses or breaking into dumpsters or doing whatever it is they're doing. We need to work with people rather than work against them. And I do believe that there are a lot of problems. And I think that we're going to have to approach it with a lot more solutions than just not housing homeless individuals in Bath. That is just not simply going to be the answer. And it's not even our choice. So it'll be a complicated issue with some individuals that may not be readily open to that kind of approach.
So if I could real quick, the 911 data I just resent to you. So yes. We can take that off of you having to contact Tina. So I did pull 3 years worth of data about police calls. As mentioned, I omitted traffic stops because that could just be a traffic stop on Morris Street outside of the residence.
Go ahead. Well, I wanted to say that I think part of the other issue that has to be recognized with it is that with the liberal policies of the state and the hesitancy to write tickets because you might get videotaped or accused of other things makes the police department hesitate to handle some of the individuals that are causing difficulty within the village limits. There's a situation where someone was in the alley over by 18 West taking garbage out of a dumpster, throwing it all over the alley, and the police were there and someone was videotaping it. I've seen the video. And the police said, well, if you don't stop and you don't clean up your mess, we're going to arrest you. But they never arrested him and he never cleaned up his mess. And the landlord was left going back there to clean up the mess because That's just what happens. There's no consequences for the bad behavior. And so that's part of the reason why it continues. And someone who's homeless can go to the hotel and then they can invite three of their best friends to come and stay in that room. And if those three best friends are the ones probably causing the problems, well, that doesn't, that isn't, it's not really a clear picture of what the problem is.
Talk about it anecdotally with other county managers, but this is not an issue just relegated to Steuben County. There is much push and pull between county seats and social services. It's not just a Steuben County issue. That's another item I would just point out for the Village of Bath, that it doesn't make them feel any better. I think we've demonstrated that we want to be partners in solving issues, but this is not just a Steuben County or a Bath issue.
I agree. And I think that there needs to be some, within the law, better enforcement of bad behavior or better enforcement of consequences for bad behavior, but that's just not the general liberal trend here in the state.
Mike, you had a question.
Yeah, I had a question about the landlord. It was a letter a few months back. I think social services is going to go in and check out the billing again and his qualifications.
It all got sorted out. He took the training that was requested of him almost immediately, and he's back and restored to the list. So I haven't heard another word. So I assume no news is good news. It calmed down.
Good.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Yes, Fred Potter.
Okay, Fred.
I know that a number of schools, if not most of them, are going back into full face-to-face instruction after break here. Are they coordinating with the county in doing so?
Darlene and I have a weekly call with superintendents. We anticipate, and you probably have seen the news, that the New York State Department of Health, even after the CDC guidance, they've taken a long time to review, especially the 3-foot versus 6-foot rule. In terms of what each individual school district is doing to accomplish bringing their students back, we can't speak to. They don't submit a plan to Darlene or to the county for approval. They know the regulations, because we talk to them. A lot of times they have questions. Darlene will ask her contacts at DOH. I'll ask the contacts at the governor's office for clarification, but we don't have any formal role in approving or disapproving what a school district does.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to go back to the homeless conversation really quick, and just to remind everybody, some of this is a direct result of Code Blue. When we are under Code Blue, we have no options regarding housing anybody that calls in. So some of the difficulties arise when, it's creating a population of individuals who know Code Blue, and they call at 5 o'clock and they say, "We're Code Blue, you got to house me." So, you've got this population out there now that is generating more and more individuals because they're learning the system, and they're the troublemakers. So that's going to enhance some of the issues that we're dealing with.
It's never an easy situation, but thank you. Thank
Hopefully
you.
With global warming, we won't have Code Blue set up.
I'm down with that.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you so much.
You're doing it.